Good afternoon, everybody. 1:30, we're going to get started. Welcome to the last meeting of 2024. Hopefully, we'll be entertained by some music over there, possibly, or we'll see. It's a lot of rambling going on. I hear the TAC committee meeting was pretty exciting. Hopefully, we can get through that without that. So, Mr. Chairman, do we have a quorum?
We do.
Awesome. First item on the agenda is audience participation. Do we have any audience participation?
We have none.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next thing, attachment 2A is going to be our meeting minutes of September 26, 2024. Are there any revisions to the meeting minutes at all?
Move for approval, Adamson.
Second, Bechera.
We have a motion to approve for approval and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving into staff reports. In your packet is attachment 3A, the financial progress report. Mr. Baker.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you see attachment 3A, you'll see through November 30th, we spent about 32% of the budget. We were able to get PMG to our pavement management company to start doing some preliminary work where we were able to spend some budget down, and we're going to be in really good shape for 2025. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Motion is required to accept the financial progress report.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second to accept the financial progress report. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, technical progress report. Mr. Stewart.
All right. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Just one item for you today, but going to go into a little detail. Most of you know at this point that we're well underway in Transportation Outlook 2050, our region's next long-range plan. We've met with many, if not most of you already, but there are some communities, I know like Talmadge, New Franklin, I still need to talk to you guys and a few other Summit County engineers. Really would like to schedule times to just talk with all of you about your future goals, needs, priorities. We're getting to that point where we're going to be putting together draft project lists here pretty soon, and so we just want to make that time to talk with everyone about what's going on in your communities or agencies to make sure we have a good handle on what your high priorities are, and also kind of share a little bit about, you know, where we're headed as an agency, where the funding's headed, and all that kind of stuff. This is important because, you know, it's a large impact as it shapes the timing and potential nature of our region's future projects. Particularly for those larger and more transformational ones. And one of the things I guess I should say is that this long-range plan is being developed concurrently with the 2026 or 2029 TIP. So what does that mean? It means we're going to be crazy busy this winter at AMATS, but it also means that at our next meeting in February, we're really hoping to have draft project lists for you to review for both documents. So a lot of work needs to get done in the next few months. If I haven't reached out to you yet, I apologize, and I'll try to do so the next couple days. Try to come up to me afterwards, too. We'll try to schedule something, but really hoping to get those meetings scheduled maybe even next week, but if not, maybe that first week back in January. So that's all I have. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Looks like we might have to really talk really loud, so I might project a little louder than I normally do. Hopefully you can hear me all right. We're going to go into the AMATS Federal Funds Report next. I believe that is Ms. Prater.
Projects that are supposed to sell before the end of the year. I'm hoping that they do. And
chunk of our projects that are supposed to sell starting in January, February. So if you do look at the funding tables, you do notice that there are very negatives at the bottom. ODOT has informed us that we can get loans, but they really don't want to give us loans until we sell our projects, or until we actually need the money. So we're hoping that everything can be on schedule and sell in a timely manner. So in the memo, it says that East Main Street and Kent got an increase. We were slightly in error. We are having a tech tip meeting on January 2nd at 9 a.m. What did I say? 22nd. Sorry, 22nd. At 9 a.m. at ODOT District 4. And so we're going to be discussing this project and possibly a few others that have asked for increases. And so if anybody wants more information on that, contact me, contact Matt, Curtis, anybody. So yeah. So other than that, we should be in good shape. And hopefully a few more projects sell between now and next year, next calendar year. Any questions? Also, I actually have one more thing. Also, I went through all of our projects from 2020 to the current projects that have sold since 2020 to current day. And there are a lot of projects that are not closed officially with ODOT. What this means is if you have an ODOT-led project and your project is not closed, your money stays in an escrow account until it's closed. I was told by ODOT that there's paperwork that the cities have to fill out to officially close the projects. If you're local let, that just means your project's hanging out there. If there's any money left over of our money, we won't get that back until you close your project. So I'm just trying to close all these projects. If you have any questions of projects that you may have open still, you may or may not know you still have open, please come see me after the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I believe item four, we're into old business. I think there's one item of old business today, and that is attachment 4A, the congestion management process CMP report. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, and again, apologize for all the extra noise today. It is the holiday season. For me, having a mother that was a teacher and a mother-in-law that was a teacher and a wife that's a teacher, knowing that there are retired teachers over there, I have a feeling that we are going to have to really keep our volume up because competing with them can be quite challenging. But the congestion mitigation or congestion management process is a document we do every 4 years. You have seen this document a few times now. This is the third time we're coming to you asking for final approval. Again, it looks at all of the congested roadways in the system and identifies them and then suggests strategies that we could apply in Transportation Outlook 2050 to potentially fund and solve that problem. So I won't go into a lot of the nitty-gritty details, but it is the same. We've received no comments since we first started providing this back in August. And so with that, the staff is asking for approval of the congestion management process.
Any additional questions for Mr. Baker at all? Hearing none, would request a motion to accept the CMP report, please.
Chair, I so move.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to accept the CMP report. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next, we're moving into item five, our new business section. It appears we have three items on the agenda for new business. The first is our attachment 5A, traffic crashes and safety performance measures, 2021 to 2023, and I believe that's Mr. Stewart.
Yes, thank you again. Just going to give you kind of an executive summary level of overview of our annual crash report. Those that have been a part of this committee in the past know this is something we update each year, taking the previous 3 years of data. Those who are new, this is one of our more important reports. This really helps kind of fuel the direction that communities go when asking for funding, especially for safety-related projects. So I'm just going to give you some of the high-level trends and main findings of this report. Just right off the top, there were some organizational changes to the composition of the report, so that's one of the big things that changed. Our methodology did not change. Another thing I want to say right off the top is we at AMETS have two processes we use to evaluate safety. We have our annual crash report, which is what I'm talking about today, and the high crash list that comes from that. But we also have the Safe Streets for All high injury network. And the differences are kind of shown on this chart, but the big one being Safe Streets for All is focused more heavily on those most severe crashes. So both are very valuable to the work that we do and the funding that communities and agencies apply for. So just kind of keep that in mind. This is one of two processes we use. Real quick, I'm just going to go over some of the trends that we've seen in this last year. And here I'll be talking about year over year. Now, this is 3 years of data, but what I'll be talking about is what happened in 2023 versus last year in 2022. Overall crashes did go down. We're happy to see the trend line is going in the right direction. This is across our entire region, of course. When we're looking at our less severe crashes, so our property damage only crashes, as well as our minor injury crashes, those both went down a little bit as well. So that's all very good news. There's also a lot of news in this report that's unfortunately not good. And to me, serious injury crashes was one that I really key in on because if you look at the last 5 to 6 years, that number has been quite steady, right around 340, 330, somewhere in there. But we went up to almost 400 serious injury crashes, so it's a fairly significant increase from last year. Fatal crashes also went up. We're kind of right back up to where we were in those first 2 years during the pandemic when both regionally and nationally we were seeing really disturbing trends with fatal crashes. We're kind of right back there. Not a huge increase. It's four more fatalities than last year, but that's still very significant and troubling. Also troubling is our bicycle and pedestrian-related crashes. Both of those numbers increased by about 19%, and that's despite more and more investments in complete streets and making our streets safer for bicyclists and pedestrians. Here's the graph for pedestrians. You can kind of just see we're really continuing a trend that we've been on for the last 4 years or so. I'm not going to go into the process. If you're curious about that, Chapter 3 of our report will tell you everything you want to know. But I'll just mention, it's a pretty intensive effort on our staff's part. Takes a lot of work, mostly on Amy's end, cleaning up the data, making sure that we're accurate on our locations and that kind of stuff. And then we distill that into a methodology where to be on our high crash list, you have to meet certain criteria. And we rank those locations. So what everyone's always interested in is where are those worst locations on our high crash list? Just a quick footnote on this first map. If you have grabbed a printed copy or if you looked at this before a few days ago, note that this first map, the section map, had some inaccuracies on it. We were reporting too many roadway sections. So this map has been corrected online. So just a quick footnote on that. But when we're looking at our high crash sections, our number one was the same as last year. Now keep in mind this is pulling 3 years of data. So when we say 2023 overall rank, that's 21 through 23. So it's pulling 2 years that were on the report last year. But we were able to kind of chart out our top 10 list and compare those ranks to how they were before. Kind of one of the interesting findings here is the top three were all in Portage County this year, and much of the rest of the list was in the city of Akron. So, you know, I think some of these corridors, these sections already have projects programmed on them, or our communities are talking about doing projects there, so certainly warranted to be doing that work. Looking at our intersections, you know, we have the map of that, and then when we look at our locations, number one and number two were the same as one and two last year. And so, again, I know that some of these projects or some of these intersections, we've been in conversations with communities about possibly doing intersection improvements here. So it's nice to see, you know, communities looking at these lists and sharing our concern and wanting to do something about improving safety. And then the last thing I wanted to just talk about real quickly, we go into a little more detail on bicycle and pedestrian crashes. It's not the same level of detail we have in our Safe Streets for All report, but we did kind of take a slightly deeper dive. Some of the main findings here, you know, if you're in a bicycle or pedestrian crash, chances are it is going to result in some level of injury or worse. So that's obviously concerning. Those are vulnerable road users. We did not have any bicycle crashes or bicycle fatalities this year, which is good. But we did have two over the three-year period and 31 pedestrian fatalities over the three-year period. And then finally, we just, you know, we did maps. We mapped out all of the locations because it's a small enough data set for both our bicycle and then our pedestrian-related crashes. So that's the, you know, the quick summary level of this report. But if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer those, or if you want to discuss anything, let me know. And Amy, thank you. Yeah, we also have those lists that are in the report. We also have those on our website sorted by community. So if you're Cuyahoga Falls or Talmadge or whoever, you can just say, okay, what are my things that made the list? And so we have those ranked that way. Yes, Mayor.
So listening to your presentation, one of the questions that pops into my mind is, these numbers, how do they fit into the overall scheme for traffic usage in general, right? So you would expect after COVID, fewer cars were on the streets, that crashes would go down, right? Now as we start to build back up, you would then expect crashes to go up because the amount of cars on the streets going up. Do we have a way of tracking the number of cars on the street to kind of look at, is this kind of normal in light of overall traffic?
So in section two of the report, we do kind of talk briefly about overall traffic volume across our region and how that's fluctuated. You're right, it absolutely did go way down during the pandemic. Both nationally and regionally, we saw total crashes reduce because, as you would expect, but fatalities went way up. You know, from, I think we had been around, you know, 45 or so a year in our region and then up to 70. So, you know, fewer cars on the road, people can hammer down, take riskier behavior because there are fewer cars on the road. You know, a lot of people were struggling, so taking more risks and stuff. What we have seen regionally kind of mirrors some of the national trends that I've seen. So I don't know if I'm answering your question totally, but yeah, I mean, we do dig into the report on traffic volume across the region, regional totals. I think that's by county, I forget. Okay, it's region-wide, okay. Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, overall crashes are down because one key reason is there's fewer cars on the road.
We found this year that the traffic volumes are nearly back to where they were pre-pandemic. It's 90-some percent. You know, it's pretty close.
But crashes aren't at the same level they were pre-pandemic.
Total crashes and the more moderate. Yeah, I can actually go back to that.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, there's so many things, and it's hard to pick that out of the data, but we can speculate, like, vehicles themselves have changed. Technology has changed in vehicles. There's a lot more crash prevention features on modern vehicles. Obviously, this region has invested heavily in improving safety. So all those things make sense. But at the same time, you also have people that are more distracted, either with the infotainment systems on their cars or using their phones or whatever it is, and risky behavior is up. So, like, there are a lot of, like, positive things and negative things, and it's just kind of changing. You know, the trend that we're seeing this year is the same as what we were seeing last year and the year before that. It's like total crashes are going down, but the more serious crashes are going up somewhat significantly. So that just kind of tells me it's easier to, maybe more people are taking those risks and, you know, doing things that cause the more serious crashes, but the total volume of crashes is going down because our system is safer, our vehicles are safer, et cetera. But again, like, a lot of that speculation, you know, it's hard with this big of a data set. Of course, we tried to go into that in pretty good detail on our Safe Streets for All action plan last year, and you can kind of see the trends with crashes by type and crashes that involve drivers under the influence and stuff like that. So that kind of paints more of a picture, but it's hard with this big of a data set to go really deep into that.
Is the complete report in the material?
Yes, this complete report is in the materials.
I understand that if I want to see what's going on in my green?
Yeah.
Be broken down.
So what you'll see for green, for example, like, you can look at which of your corridors and sections, you know, made the high crash list. You'll see these kinds of trend lines, but that's kind of where this report stops. If you wanted to look more into detail, you could look at our Safe Streets for All action plan, and we also have a High Injury Network web application on our website that you can click on any crash and just see graphically, okay, this intersection has a lot of crashes, what's going on here, and then you can click on each one, see, hey, this was a rear end, this happened in sunny conditions, whatever it is, and start to look at things that way.
If I want to know the overall number of crashes in my town versus year over year, is that something it's in the report or I can get?
We don't, not directly, but we can get you that information pretty easily. So I'll reach out tomorrow. Maybe we'll get you what you want.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. We'd be happy to. Okay, well, if no further questions, thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Matt. We did not. So we'll need a motion to approve the traffic crashes and safety performance measures 2021 to 2023. Do I have a motion?
Paul, we move to approve.
Do I have a second?
Paradise, second.
Thanks, Joe. A motion and a second to approve Attachment 5A, Traffic Crashes and Safety Performance Measures 2021 to 2023. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thanks again, Matt. So on to Attachment 5B, the AMATS Public Participation Plan, the 3P Plan. Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 5B. 2024 Public Participation Plan describes the agency's ongoing efforts to involve the public in the transportation planning process. This plan is an update to the 2022 Public Participation Plan. Staff decided to perform a quick update to the 3P at this time following consultation with the Federal Transit Administration and the area's local transit operators. Following this consultation, the staff updated the 3P to include a discussion of how we assist the local RTAs, Metro and PARTA, how we develop public meeting presentations, and the procedure for processing public comments that we receive. Otherwise, the full document remains very similar to the 2022 public participation plan. Basically, we added 4 pages to the existing document with updated data throughout the document. The draft plan was made available on October 27th. This started the required 45-day comment period. No comments have been received at this point, and the staff is requesting final approval of the 2024 public participation plan. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. Hearing no questions, we will require a motion to approve on this, please, for the AMATS public participation plan, the 3P plan. Could I have a motion, please?
I'll make that motion, Bashira Rittman.
Thank you. May I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor to accept the AMATS public participation 3P plan, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item under new business and last item is our regional discussion of passenger rail by Mr. Baker.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I wanted to just update you on a few conversations that are happening regionally and also get a little direction from our board in the way that AMATS approaches this. So I'll start off. Recently, the Greater Akron Chamber and some area agencies have been discussing intercity passenger rail. Intercity passenger rail is not the same thing as commuter rail. So intercity means, you know, Akron to Columbus or Akron to Toledo. It's not commuter Akron-Cleveland kind of, you know, smaller scale. It's larger scale intercity. The discussion began after Ohio unveiled its plans to study 2 new rail corridors. These corridors were the Cleveland-Columbus-Cincinnati plus Dayton, which is sort of that main 3C is what it's usually referred to, or 3C plus D, and then a Cleveland-Toledo-Detroit line. Some locally, including Congresswoman Sykes, believed that Akron should be part of the 3C plus D conversation. And since then, there was a push to talk to the Ohio Rail Development Commission, and ORDC came back and said, really, it doesn't make sense because Akron doesn't really have a rail line that can connect feasibly into the 3C plus D. So they said if there was interest in rail, it would probably need to come from a different feasibility type study. Typically in the past, you know, AMATS has always been supportive of rail in general. It's something that, you know, I think a lot of our members think there could be benefits from having passenger rail. However, that support has always come with the acknowledgement that one, you know, the passenger rail spine for Ohio is probably the Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, and that really if we want to see success in passenger rail, like that spine needs to get built before we can, or at least needs to get even the possibility of being built before we can even come up with a solution for our region. Two, our area doesn't have class 1 capable rail line with logical connections to the 3C corridor, which makes it incredibly challenging and most likely very expensive to do. And then three, the region's transportation needs, you know, obviously far outweigh our resources, and pursuing new intercity rail line is not that pragmatic without a larger effort nationally, without there being those big funding sources that we could tie into to potentially get something like that. And so therefore, you know, when AMATS writes its long-range plan, which will be in May, you know, our thought was having some language saying, hey, we support passenger rail, we support the 3C plus D, you know, we would look forward to at some point connecting into that and kind of leaving it at that point. We discussed it with our technical advisory committee last week. They passed a motion that says that, you know, AMATS is in support of passenger rail and its inclusion. You know, however, they felt like from an AMATS capacity and staff position that, you know, it wasn't going to be us that are going to be chasing monies or trying to figure this out without a greater, larger national investment and national effort to that, to the passenger rail element. So I wanted, and then the, I guess the fourth thing too is that there is a new administration. It's very unclear how that administration views rail. There were some funding programs available under President Biden. He was a big champion of rail. I don't know if we can expect the same thing from incoming President Trump. But, you know, so from staff's perspective, we just wanted to make sure before we put something in our long-range plan that it was what our committees agreed to and felt comfortable with. And I'd be happy to answer any questions or just, you know, start the discussion. So, I mean, I would say the staff default position was support of passenger rail. However, you know, AMATS as an agency and our levels of capacity, as Matt was saying, with what we're doing, you know, it's not something that is on our forefront of trying to focus and find funding to do a rail feasibility study, at least not this fiscal year. But that's sort of our default position, and be happy to open it up for discussion. You are our policy committee, so we would like to hear from you. So that'll stop.
Curtis, you know what I'm going to say, right?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask the question if you've had the opportunity to talk to the county executive about that position. She is definitely pro-rail. But again, listening to the reasons why it perhaps doesn't work right now, have you even expressed that to her?
No, so we have not talked to the county executive recently. I mean, I did, you know, a couple months ago. We've talked, actually the main organization that has been talking to us is the chamber. So the chamber seems to be the one that's kind of having these types of discussions. And therefore I think like what we're trying to do is get that conversation out there. And like I said, we're not opposed at all and want to be supportive. And honestly, right now there's not much to do because there are no grant program, like the FTA grant programs are discretionary. Right now there aren't any that would be open to doing something like that. So that's kind of where we are right now.
No, I understand your position. I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But no, have not spoken to her recently within the last couple of months on it.
Thank you.
But would be happy to do so.
I'll let her know. Thank you.
Yeah. Mayor.
Curtis, help me understand why Dayton is in discussion. Akron's not.
Do
they have an infrastructure that we lack?
I think they have direct rail line access of Class 1 rail that is on the way. You know, it's just like if Akron had what we should have or what we would have had if we were developed at a different period, it would be very easy to include us. But the reality is our main Class 1s don't really, we've got our Norfolk Southern line to the north that goes through Hudson, and then we have our CSX line that kind of comes, cuts through Akron north-south, and they just don't interact well. My understanding, talking to the Ohio Rail Development Commission, was, they said, look, this was something that there, has been in discussion for decades, and the reality was that this was the easiest one that they felt like they could actually build. Now, the other element of this is the state hasn't committed to building this. All they've committed to do was do the study. So we are just not part of that study. And I think the reason was that there was no clear connection to our region to that 3C spine. And Dayton, there is that clear connection. They're not making an exception to get there. It's already kind of going through there. That's my understanding. And I will say I am not a passenger rail expert and rail expert by any means. This was just through my conversations that I had with Matt Dietrich from Ohio Rail Development Commission.
Is there wisdom in saying that we support it?
Yes.
We think there'd be benefit. Let somebody else determine that it's not time. But we're in favor of it. What do we lose?
Right. We don't lose anything about that. So, and that's kind of what I think our stance would be is, we're supportive. And honestly, I think the best thing that could happen for our region to get passenger rail is for the 3C plus D to move forward. That makes it a lot easier because where we are right now, we just don't have that, we'd be kind of flying on our own in a sense that doesn't... and not really even knowing where to go. you know, do we go towards Cleveland? Do we go towards Pittsburgh? Do we go towards Columbus? And the cost to do that. One thing we know for sure is that the cost will be exorbitant. They will be incredibly expensive. So I think, but it makes it easier if you start to have that momentum. I think someone at our TAC committee said, you know, we're supportive of rail. We just don't think we can start. You know, that Akron can be the first place that it happens because we don't have that same level of activity and just population critical mass that say, you know, Cleveland region, Columbus, Cincinnati. But I think having the language that says, hey, we support it, and honestly, there would be nothing stopping us if the FTA comes back and says there is a grant available to study this. There would be nothing stopping us from coming back to this committee and saying, you know, is this something you want AMATS to be using its staff time, you know, to be pursuing? And that would be a different discussion. So we honestly, one of the reasons we wanted to have this discussion was because we actually didn't talk about passenger rail in the 4 years ago. So, and one of the reasons was because the 4 years before that was the Kasich administration killed the 3C line. And so then I think everybody was just kind of tapped out on rail. And then so it was like, okay, it's not going to happen anytime soon. And then with the Biden administration and the funding being available and ODOT slash ORDC studying the feasibility of a corridor, that's what's kind of caused it to come back up again. So, you know, we as staff didn't want to put it in the plan without getting sort of a sign-off from our board saying, yeah, we want it in the plan. The chamber has made some overtures kind of about like, oh, could, you know, can AMATS apply for this federal grant? And the reality is right now we don't have the capacity to do that right now, but that's not to say that it couldn't later if it arose. So that's kind of where we are.
I would like to see us favor it and, you know, ask for consideration in Akron and let it be someone else's decision that we don't get it. But I'd like it to be our policy that we're in favor. I'd love to see it connected to Akron Canada.
So it wins.
Yeah, and my understanding is that's actually an issue, or that something that ORDC pointed out was that intercity rail doesn't go to airports typically. It goes to like city urban centers, and so therefore, you know, the feedback I got from ORDC was, you know, it. Like, we're not going to get a grant for something that goes to the airport because that's not, at least on an inner city rail, because that's not what the program is meant to do. That was the feedback we got back from ORDC. And again, I don't, you know, for here or there.
So, if I can, so I agree, inner city rail is not something you usually see go to an airport. I think it's important for us as a region, but not just a region, as a state, to be ready. And I think that's one of the things sometimes that we lack as a state is let's be ready to jump on what that next thing might be and not say, oh, wait a minute, that is available now. Now let's hurry to see if we can do it. I think it's very important to put together something eventually that can tie all the way down. I always talk about 71. Talk about that 71 corridor going all the way down through. And then what usually happens is you're either running some type of express bus service or something like that from where your stations are, then out into your communities. As Ohio continues to want to attract new talent, attract more population, which I know is something that's supposed to be high on the list there, you have to have the services that also attract that talent to the area. I agree. I don't know. Intercity Amtrak is the best. I have talked to Congresswoman Sykes. I know she is looking for her district not to be left out and not to be left out of the conversation, which I think is more what it is the district itself, the area was left out of the conversation completely because people think we don't want it. They think we're not interested. So I do think that it's important. And there are numerous FTA grants throughout fiscal years to study things or to do planning studies and things like that. what you have to have is, I think, some type of a group who is interested to do that study and put that work into it. I mean, I know that at Metro, we're always ready to try and take up something that helps to do that study, but it would take more than just us. It has to be something where there's more people at the table. So as we start to bring things to the area, whether that's rail, whether that's, and when you do rail, I think it has to be, especially if you're going to start connecting major cities, it has to be high speed, it has to run quickly, it should probably run around, I know Jared and I talked before, I think it should run right down the corridor with the highways, because that just takes you exactly where you're going, and that allows people that equity and that opportunity to live in one place and work in another. Something that I think we lack here in the entire state of Ohio, not just in our region, but in the entire state of Ohio. I do know that the transit CEOs that I have spoken to, they are interested in doing something like that. They just got to know that they're going to get the support, because there is more to it than just FTA money. There has to be an investment from the state as well as the region. So I do think, I agree with the mayor that making sure that AMATS is at least vocal to say, hey, we're interested and we want to be part of the conversation. I think that's extremely important for us, not to just say, hey, not right now. I think we need to just say, we're interested. Tell us what the next steps are. If you want us to be interested in something you're doing, come knock at the door. We're ready.
Curtis, are there two studies in the state of Ohio right now? MORPSI is doing one with Pennsylvania and Indiana.
Oh, yeah, I left that out. They're looking at Columbus to Pittsburgh, I believe.
And through Fort Wayne.
Yeah, yeah.
And then is it ORDC doing...
ORDC is doing the other two, I believe.
Is anybody from this region sitting on that committee, or has anybody... How far along are they in that planning process?
Not that I'm aware of. Is anybody sitting on it? And I know right now in their planning process, they were in that public engagement phase. I'm sorry, Michelle, like the way the sun is, I feel like you're like I'm looking at a cloud. I don't know for sure where it is. I think there's a ways to go for these studies even. And as Dawn pointed out, like the reality is at some point the state will have to pony up money, and the likelihood of that right now seems pretty low as well.
For the study or for two?
For to like to the next step. Yeah, yeah. To actually, you know, my impression from talking to ORDC was like, hey, we were lucky that we're allowed to look at what we're allowed to look at, and you know, but saying that it goes from there to building is sort of that'd be a pretty big step. So if you do remember last time when this came up, you know, the average speed was 39 miles an hour, and Kasich actually ran on, you know, the fact that he was going to kill the slow train that was going to be funded, you know, that Strickland's administration got. I think those things will come up again if, you know, we get closer to actual real building of it. But again, it's not a thing that I don't think anyone... I've not gotten the sense that anyone is, you know, absolutely opposed to it. I think one of the things... The reality is like the opportunity or the cost relative to bridge replacements and pavements and, you know, who's going to eventually fund an operation of an intercity passenger rail is tough. And at this point, I'm not sure there's been, like, an identifying way to make that happen.
Any additional discussion? I have a couple quick questions procedurally wise. Mr. Chairman, did the TAC make a motion?
Yeah, so the TAC made a motion. So they made a motion and supported, basically saying, like, you know, we support passenger rail, and, you know, it should be included as a recommendation of our long-range transportation plan. You know, however, they did not advise that they did not think that it was the right time to be pursuing for AMAT staff to be pursuing grant funding or something like that to take the lead, I guess I should say, on being that agency that would do that.
So I guess they made a recommendation to us. We don't have to do anything, but if someone would like to make a motion that aligns possibly with TAC or goes against TAC. We're open to hear a motion that the policy may want to make or may not want to make.
Well, if I understand what you just said, TAC, their position is they support the extension of rail to our metropolitan area. And to go to this first point, that we want to be in the conversation as a place that desires to have a connection. It seems to me that's the point we want to make.
Yeah.
We sort of put a pin in the subject.
Yeah, and honestly, just starting and getting that narrative in our plan, like I said, it wasn't in there 4 years ago. You know, technically, if our region got federal funding, we'd be scrambling to get it into our procedural because it was removed after everything kind of seemed, you know, dead and it wasn't as interesting. So I think that was sort of where we were landing was, yeah, let's make sure it's in there, we're supportive, and be willing to help however we can, you know.
And so at the municipal level, when we're seeking grants, having a plan in place is always something that's helpful.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So you want the appropriate language so when the time comes.
It's there,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you have exact verbiage of what TAC approved?
No, not yet, because we haven't done like the official minutes of TAC, so to speak. But it essentially, I had written down kind of what we had drafted. Basically, AMAT supports passenger rail service or its inclusion into the long-range transportation plan and supports Akron's inclusion into the pursuit of long-range or into potential rail studies, you know, essentially something along those lines with, you know, barring us taking on the lead role of, you know, pursuing this funding on our own.
But I guess the one issue I have is that statement, because if no one else is going to lead it, it should be AMAT's job to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be okay with not just remaining silent on that piece.
Yeah.
Until the time comes, as if they need a leader, then we could discuss it further.
Yeah. And it would always be up to the board at any time to say, this is what we think we should be pursuing. So
we could vote on a resolution in February.
If you would like us to, we could actually, yeah, we could do it that way. My thought was we could actually, you know, write in the text into the plan and you guys could approve it through the draft plan, but we could do a resolution in February as well.
Well, we've got time.
Yes. Yeah. So. But no, Diane, I think that's actually a good comment from the standpoint of, you know, it is something that we can always reserve the right to jump in and take the lead if we want to.
Be looked at as a negative.
Yeah.
Right. So then, Curtis, could you come up with some language?
Oh, yeah.
And have it circulated for the next meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think we'll actually, what Mayor Judge suggested, we'll write a resolution that you guys can approve that has appropriate language, and then we can actually say, hey, our board passed a resolution that we support this. You know, we're in favor of it happening, and, you know, we will support, you know, the push to get it included, working with all of our partnering agencies or something like that.
I think that's a great idea.
Do you want a motion for what Bill was saying?
If you want to give me a motion to provide you with a resolution.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, great.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor.
Second.
We have a second. So we have a motion and a second to align with Mayor Judge's recommendation
of a resolution
to put together a resolution by staff in support of passenger rail in the region.
Correct.
Is that okay? Is everyone following along? So I have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. So closing out that discussion, we'll move into item 6 is going to be our resolutions. We have one resolution on the agenda for PARTA. It's resolution 2024-20 to add Ohio Workforce Mobility Program funds for PARTA fiscal year 24-27, TIP amendment number 10. Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Funds come from a competitive grant program administered directly by ODOT. PARTA would like to add 5 new projects using $639,000 in federal funds. about five projects: a new fuel pump, computer upgrades, long-range planning, building rehabilitation, and security equipment. All five projects will be scheduled in fiscal year 2025. The staff is requesting approval of resolution 2024-20. Are there any questions?
Hearing no questions, I'd like to propose a motion to approve resolution 2024-20. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Need a second, please?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve resolution 2024-20. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to other business. Attachment 7A, the all-important AMATS meeting calendar.
All right. So, yes, we have the meeting calendar. The two things of note. One is that we are actually meeting in February of this year instead of January. We pushed the meeting back a week or two just because the holidays. Sometimes it's hard for us to get, you know, not a lot changes after this meeting until we get into the middle of January. Two things, probably the biggest thing is, and I apologize to Mayor Kilway of Talmadge, is that we are going to be moving our meet, and actually Mavridis from Mayor Mavridis from Monroe Falls. We are moving our meetings. We're going to, ODOT has made us an offer that we can't refuse of a free meeting location at ODOT District 4. And it, I think they have a very nice, totally redone conference room. That we are going to be scheduling our, that all of our committee meetings in 2025 will be in. So we will be sending you multiple emails trying to remind you that there's a new location. But with that, we have our annual meeting as scheduled. Usually it'll be the 10th of October. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And thank Jerry for making the offer too as well.
Sure. Looking forward to it.
Any discussion? We're actually going to need a motion to approve the 2025 AMATS committee meeting calendar.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Sure.
Thank you. All in favor in approving the 2025 AMATS committee meeting calendar and meeting at ODOT? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, last item, always the important one, adjournment. Our next regular meeting, as Mr. Baker mentioned, will be Thursday, February 13th, 2025, 1:30 at ODOT District 4, 2088 South Arlington Road. Do we have a motion to adjourn? How about a second? You guys just want to stay, I can tell. Awesome. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those both same sign, and have a wonderful day.